Turn to Luke chapter 11. I'm delighted being with you. What a blessing. I so much enjoyed being with your pastor the last couple of days, and I could have kept on working today. We quit a couple hours early, and I think he was worn out. I was wanting to do more. I'd like to read these first four verses of Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've entitled this message, What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Now, I want to know the answer to that question. And I find myself having to ask myself if I know the answer to that question repeatedly. What is a Christian? There is seldom a day that goes by. As a matter of fact, I don't know if there is a day that goes by when at some point during that day I ask myself, are you really a Christian? How could you be? How could you be and think those things and do those things? How could you be? Are you really a Christian? Are you really saved? So I want to bring a message where you and I can walk out of this room knowing whether or not we really are Christians. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Now, in this passage of Scripture that I just read, the Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. What a blessing. I want him to teach me to pray. Don't you? I think it's interesting. We never read where the disciples said, teach us to preach, although I'm sure he did. But we don't read where they said, teach us to preach. But they did say, teach us to pray. They were watching our Lord, and I can't imagine what that would have been like, watching the Lord Jesus pray. And when he was finished, they said, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Now, a Christian can be seen, can be defined in this thing of prayer. Now, let me repeat that. A real Christian, a true Christian, whatever a Christian is. I love that passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 11 when they were first called Christians at Antioch. I like that. They didn't call themselves Christians. People called them Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And a Christian can be defined in this thing of prayer. Now, there's a lot of ways we can define what a Christian is from the Word of God. This book's a big book. And the Lord uses the whole Bible to define what a Christian is. But here we have four verses that if God gives me the grace to see what's being said, I can leave here knowing whether or not I really am a Christian and what a Christian really is. Now, everybody at some time has prayed. You've heard that saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. That's true. Everybody to ever live has prayed. When we get in trouble, Lord, if you're out there, help me. Help me out of this. Save me. Get me out of this mess. I'm sick. Help me. If you're real, help me. My child is sick. Oh, help my child. Heal my child. There's not a human being on the face of this planet that has never prayed. But the Lord gives us some special insight into this when He spoke of the prayer of the Pharisee. He stood and prayed. Anybody know the next words? Thus with himself. He thought he was praying to God, but he wasn't. He was praying thus with himself. That wasn't true prayer. When the Lord Jesus knocked Paul off his high horse and sent Ananias to preach the gospel to him, what did he say to Ananias regarding Paul the apostle? Behold, he prayeth. He never had before. Oh, he'd done what that Pharisee had done, but he'd never prayed to the Lord before. Behold, he prayeth. You see, prayer is the breath of faith. Wherever you have one, you have the other. Wherever you have faith, you will have real prayer. And wherever you have real prayer, you will have faith. Now, in this prayer that our Lord teaches us to pray, He said, when you pray, say. Now, this is not a formula. I know people use it like that. I remember when I was in junior high school, our football team used to pray this prayer before the games. And I remember I was embarrassed because I didn't know it. Everybody else knew it. And I didn't. I just mumbled, you know, because and it's kind of a formula people use. But this is what a Christian is. First, he's a member of this group called our. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. The Christian is in this great big group known as our, we, and us. It's the same us. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's the same we as we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's the same us that the Lord Jesus referred to when He was talking to John the Baptist and he came to be baptized, and He said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, everything the Lord Jesus did, He did as an us. When He fulfilled all righteousness, all of God's elect, all of those who are united to Him fulfilled all righteousness. Now, our Lord teaches us to pray this way. A part of this great group, we, us, and our. This represents everyone who is united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause, He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to own me. Now, Christian, first of all, he's a part of something a whole lot bigger than he is. He's a part of the our, the we, the us. That, my dear friends, is a Christian. Secondly, a Christian is a child of God. Our Father who art in heaven. A Christian is somebody who God is their father. Now, God's not father to everybody. You remember when the Lord said to that one crowd, your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. They were in no sense children of God, not in any way. He's not everybody's father, but He's the Father of the Christian. Our Father. Well, how'd they become that way? Well, first of all, He's our Father by adoption, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, that means He adopted us. He chose us. He chose us to be His adopted children. Isn't that glorious? But not only are we adopted children, we're biological children, isn't the right word, but we're children by birth. We're not just adopted children, we're children by birth. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born. There it is. Which were born. Not of blood. Not of the will of the flesh. Not of the will of man. But of God. How much did you have to do with your first birth? Nothing. How much do you have to do with your second birth? Same. Nothing. Born of God. And if you're born of God, that means He's your Father. You cry, Abba, Father. It comes out naturally. I mean, it's not something you just work up. It's something that's in you. Our Father. When you sin against Him, oh, you go back to your Father in confession of your sins through your Son. Our Father. A Christian is a child. A child by adoption, God's choice. A child by birth. And here's the evidence. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I'm not asking you if you know you're a Christian. I'm not asking you if you know you're saved. I'm not asking you if you know you're one of the elect. I'm not asking you if you know that you've been born again. Here's what I am asking you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that He is God's prophet? The very Word of God. Do you believe that He's God's priest? So that if He brings you into the presence of the Father, you must be heard. Do you believe He's God's King? That He's ruling and reigning? Do you need Him to be the King to cause you to do His will? Do you believe He's God's prophet, priest, and King? And do you? You know what the Bible says? You're born of God. You are a child of God. You are a Christian. Look what our Lord says next. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. A Christian is a worshiper. Now, the name of the Lord is simply who He is. The person behind the name. It's His attributes. All of His attributes. You remember that passage where in Exodus chapter 34 when the Lord descended and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. He names His attributes. Now, every Christian says regarding every one of God's attributes. That's who He is. It's the person behind the name. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy and reverend is Thy name. A Christian is a worshiper. Our Lord said, God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you're a Christian, you dead sure know this. You know the only way you can worship God is by the Holy Spirit. You know it can't come from your flesh. And you know the only way you can worship God is through the truth of the gospel. You know that. There's no question in your mind about that. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 3, we are the circumcision. We are the true Christians. We are the true Jews. We are the circumcision which worship God. We worship Him for who He is. You know, you'll only worship a sovereign. You'll only worship one that you can't manipulate, that you're in His hands and He can do with you whatever He's pleased to do. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice. And that word is we glory. We have confidence in. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Now that is a Christian. He is a worshiper. He's someone who worships God for who He is. Now let's go on reading. Thy kingdom come. A Christian is a subject of another kingdom. This world really is not his home. He's a subject of another kingdom. The kingdom of the King of Kings. The kingdom where His kingship is loved and adored. It's the same kingdom that this thief spoke of when he said, Lord, he saw that one hanging on a cross and he knew he was the Lord. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your what? Kingdom. The kingdom of God, which is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom the believer is in. That's the kingdom the Christian is in. And they say from the depth of their heart, Thy kingdom come. Is that prayer in your heart? You want His kingdom to come so that that's all that's seen. You don't see the kingdom of this world. You know God's in control of it. He's got His thumb on it. He's going to get rid of it in His time. But oh, our prayer is Thy kingdom come. What's it say next? Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. A Christian is a servant who wants God's will to be done. The way it's done in heaven, I love to think of the way God's will is done is in heaven. Everybody does His will willingly, cheerfully, joyfully, quickly. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. A Christian is somebody who from the depths of their heart, they say, and this is what they want, thy will be done. Whatever it is, if it crosses me, thy will be done. Verse 3. A Christian is someone who is completely dependent upon the charity of God for all things. Give us day by day our daily bread. I'm completely dependent on Him. For all things. All things. Can't take that too far. All things. Give us. Give me what I need. Give me my daily bread. Give me what I need emotionally. Give me what I need physically. Give me what I need materially. Give me what I need spiritually. Give me what I... If you don't give it to me, I won't have it. Give me. This day, you know, that's what children do. They ask their parents for stuff, don't they? Give me this, give me that. Ask great things. Give me, give me, Give me. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, when come my soul, thy soup prepare, Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 4, and forgive us our sins. Now what that tells me is a Christian is a sinner. Now you listen real carefully. A Christian is a sinner. You've heard people say, well, they're a good Christian. By definition, if they're a Christian, they're no good. By definition. A Christian is somebody so bad that the only way they can be saved is by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is a sinner. Now most folks, are you a sinner? Well, yeah, I make mistakes. I don't mean that. That's not what I'm talking about. What's a sinner? Well, what's sin? Sin, according to John, 1 John 3:4, is the transgression of the law. A sinner is somebody who puts other gods or anything before God. Do you do that? A sinner is someone who concocts false ideas of God in order to make himself feel more comfortable and make him be able to vindicate himself. A sinner is someone who fails to reverence God's holy name, his holy character. A sinner is someone who never rests. A sinner is someone who disobeys his parents and disrespects authority. A sinner is a murderer. He might not have murdered somebody physically, but he's murdered their characters. A sinner is guilty of sexual sin. They're adulterers. If they haven't done it physically, they've done it in their hearts. A sinner's a thief. He's taken that which did not belong to him. He's robbed. He's robbed God of glory, trying to give it to himself. A sinner's a liar. A liar. Even when he tells the truth, he tells it in such a way as to make himself look good. He's got some other motive. A sinner is covetous. He covets that which God hadn't given him. That's what a sinner is. Listen to me. A sinner is someone who cannot not sin. A sinner is someone who all they do is sin. A sinner is someone who can't look down their nose in moral superiority at anybody. A sinner is someone who has no claims on God. That's the one who needs the forgiveness of sins. A Christian is a sinner. And when he prays, he can't come into God's presence without an awareness of that. Oh, forgive us our sins. A Christian is a sinner who's been forgiven of his sins. And a Christian is one who forgives others. Being forgiven, they forgive. Now, you may have a hard time forgiving somebody. But if you're a Christian, when you see how God has forgiven you, it becomes easy, doesn't it? A Christian is one who forgives because he has been forgiven. Now let me give you six real good reasons to forgive. Listen real carefully. The Lord said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Pretty good reason, isn't it? I mean, forgive out of self-interest. The Lord says that real clearly. Two, Second, we will be forgiven in the same manner we forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us. We're asking the Lord to use the same principle we use. The Lord teaches us to pray that way. Somebody says, "Is this works?" No, it's not works, but it's what the Lord says, isn't it? Here's another good reason. If we forgive, we will be happier people. You know, there isn't anything that gnaws at my soul anymore than when I'm resentful at being wronged. Man, it gets to me. When you're the one, like Bruce Crabtree said here a few years ago, watch out when you're the one wronged. Watch out. Watch out. You're the one in trouble. How can they do that to me? How can they treat me? This is wrong. After all, I don't deserve it. Just makes you miserable. But what a blessing it is to, from our heart, forgive. May God make me and you forgiving people. If we fail to forgive, according to 2 Corinthians 2:10 and 11, Satan has the advantage over us. That's what the Bible says. Now, here's my favorite reason. Do you know that it lies in the very nature of our God to forgive? Isn't that glorious? When he proclaimed his name to Moses, he said, "Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." It's the very nature of God to forgive. And the most godlike thing me or you can ever do is to forgive somebody. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. That's the only reason he had to have. That's the only reason you have to have. Well, they haven't said, "I'm sorry." Well, did you? Did you? God forgave you not because you said, "I'm sorry." He forgave you for Christ's sake. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, a Christian is a sinner. He's a forgiven sinner. And he's a forgiving sinner. Isn't that what a Christian is? Then let's go on reading. Verse 4. "And lead us not into temptation." A Christian is someone who is so weak that he knows that if he's tempted, he'll fall. Don't let me even be tempted. Put up a hedge around me, surround me. Don't let me even be tempted, because I'm so weak. I'm so weak that I know if I'm tempted, I know myself and know that I'm going to fall. So don't let me be tempted. Don't let me be tried. I don't want a trial. I know they're coming my way, but I'm all for getting out of them. Lead us not into temptation. I can't handle it. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. And in my prayer, "Lord, don't let me be tempted. I just put a hedge around me so I don't want to be tempted." You know, Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. If I say, "Bring the temptation on, I can handle it," I show how stupid I am and deceived I am. Now, this comes from the heart of the Christian, someone that God's done a work of grace in their heart. They say, "Lead me not into temptation." And the last thing, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who needs to be delivered from evil. Deliver us. Save us from evil. Save me from the evil one. I don't want to have anything to do with Satan. Save me from the evil one. Save me from this evil world. The lust of the flesh, all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, pleasure. The lust of the eyes, popularity. Being more concerned about what men think than what God thinks. Pride of life, the lust for power and authority. Oh, save me from this present evil world. And Lord, save me from this evil one. I'm the one I need to be saved from. You know, in this same chapter, the Lord said to his disciples, and these were his disciples, and he said to his disciples, if you then, being what? Evil. That's a strong word. Somebody comes up to me and says, you are evil. And you're not? Who are you talking to? When the Lord says it, if you then, being evil, you know, if you ever heard the truth about yourself, there it is. I need saved from evil. The evil one, this evil world, and most especially this evil one. Lord, save me from myself. How many times do you have to pray that? Now, a Christian is defined by this prayer, isn't it? A Christian is part of this great group, the our, the we, the us, those united to Christ. A Christian is a child of God, our Father. A Christian is a worshiper. Hallowed be thy name. A Christian is the subject of the great kingdom. Thy kingdom come. A Christian is someone who wants God's will to be done. A Christian is someone who is totally dependent upon the charity of God. Give us this day our daily bread. A Christian is a sinner. He's a forgiven sinner. And he's a forgiving sinner. A Christian is one who can't handle temptation. And he prays, Lord, lead me not into temptation. And a Christian is one who needs to be delivered from evil. The evil one, the evil world, and this evil one. Question. Are you a Christian? If that's what a Christian is, yes. I am a Christian. Okay, Pastor.
I believe I'm one. That's so good. Thank you. Absolutely wonderful.